This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Everyone, get out your sermon outline so you can follow along with today's teaching time. And please follow along in your Bibles because we're talking today about the temptation or the possible temptation to return to your old way of life and not follow the Lord. And what the Lord is willing to do to make sure that we don't do that. The passage is John chapter 21, 1 through 14, and please follow along in your Bibles as I read, and this morning's reading here is coming from the English Standard Version. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias and revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "Well, we'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped down for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish here that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Well, I don't know how many of you are fans of some of those 1980s era coming-of-age movies, but one of the more famous ones is one, it's actually now a minor classic, if you will, called The Breakfast Club. In the film, a group of 5 high school students had to do a Saturday detention at their school. They're from different backgrounds, and they're in this Saturday program labeled The Breakfast Club by the students. Not too complimentarily, that is, but there were all sorts of reasons that the kids were there. The kids in this film start out, and they're not normally those who associate with one another at all. One's a rich princess. There's a sports hero, a brainy nerd, a petty criminal, and then there's a neurotic girl. They're supposed to write a 1,000-word essay during this day, they're there for 9 hours, about how they should behave and who they think they are. In the process, what happens is they all start talking to one another, and they share their thoughts, and they find out that they all have more in common with one another than they first thought. By the end of the film, they were actually getting to be friends, and we knew, because of how well the film was written, we knew a lot about these kids, and we actually started to care about the characters. They cared for one another, and they found that they had more in common than they first thought. Well, Jesus is going to get together today in our passage with another breakfast club, with seven men who came from a lot of different backgrounds, but find out that they're really not that much different from one another. And so, we're going to start out with verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, our hero from last week, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two others of his disciples who are not named. We assume one of them would have been Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, but that's about as far as we can go with that. And Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." So they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Now check out the fact again that Thomas is with the others waiting for Jesus to arrive. And a number of New Testament scholars still debate on why this chapter is in the Gospel of John. Because at the end of chapter 20, you remember, John concludes chapter 20 with, "And these things are written so that you may believe." And that sounds like it's the end of the story. But what the scholars have determined is that chapter 21 is an extremely necessary epilogue to the story. And we'll get to why that was the case next week. Now, this chapter is extremely important. We begin, and this is on your handout, with seven of Jesus' disciples actually having followed Jesus' post-resurrection instructions to go to the Galilee. That by itself is a key detail. Why do you think that would be?
They followed directions.
Very good. They followed directions. What an amazing concept, following directions. Now I'm going to get back to your outline here. And they're supposed to wait for him. So we see that they're doing that. But something's not quite right with their waiting. And we see that not quite right thing in verse 3. What happens in verse 3 that's not quite right?
They're going fishing.
That's not to say that we should criticize all people who go fishing. But that's not the point here.
It is boring.
Well, okay, so it's boring, but anyway. We can't automatically assume also that they are tempted to return to their old way of life because they're discouraged and think Jesus isn't going to show up. It's very easy to make that conclusion when you read this. I'm going fishing. See, they're waiting for Jesus, and Peter, the ever impulsive one, says, "I'm going fishing." The text gives us no indication these guys are thinking of giving up on being an apostle. The text gives us no indication that they're slowly losing their faith. The actual goof up is more subtle than that. Using the information we have so far, who thinks they know what the subtle goof up actually is? Yes?
They're not waiting for Jesus.
They're not waiting for Jesus. And then in the process, what are they also doing?
Back to their old ways?
They're not going back to their old ways. That's not quite right. It's more subtle, and it's even, for a Christian, more dangerous than that.
They're not paying attention?
Well, they kind of, that might be it. But let's think about this. They are getting fidgety and impatient. And this is on your outline. They're bored, and they're doing something impulsively without thinking it through. Jesus didn't tell them to go fishing while they waited. Yet, they go off to do something without seeking the Lord's guidance before they did it. Does everybody understand that now? They didn't ask for direction. Jesus didn't tell them to go do that. What did Jesus tell them to do in Matthew and Mark when he said? He said, "Go ahead of me to Galilee and I will meet you there." In other words, Jesus said, "Wait. Wait." But Peter says, and we can just kind of read in between the lines, "I'm tired of waiting. Let's go fishing." And so here's the problem. They're doing something impulsive without any direct commission from the Lord to do it. Everybody understand that? Now, Jesus no doubt was not against them fishing. But let's look at this carefully. They're doing something without consulting Jesus about it. They're doing something and they're going off on their own to do something. And true enough, it was Peter, Mr. Impulsive himself, that said it first. The others just went along because Peter was a natural leader. Now let's look at the results of their impulsive act. The results are also appearing for us in verse 3. What does it say about their results in verse 3? They caught
nothing.
Right. And this is important for us to know. Now let's think about this. When we do things the Lord has not commanded in His Word, or if we do something He's not leading us to do, we can expect little to no result that's of any lasting importance. That doesn't mean we might not get some results by doing something. You know, it's easier to steer a car that's in motion than one that's not moving at all. However, if we're doing something that Jesus has not commanded us to do, or we don't feel led to do it by a scripture we've seen or the still small voice, if we're just acting out and doing something, our results are likely to be like the disciples that evening. They're not going to catch anything. At the same time, let's not confuse this with the Lord's timing on when we will get results from what He has commanded us to do. And again, I'm going to repeat that line. At the same time, let's not confuse this with the Lord's timing on when we will get results from what He has commanded us to do. The difference between these is the sense of peace and confidence we should have if we're doing something that He has commanded. So what do we know here so far? If you go off and do something the Lord has not commanded, you're probably not going to get a lot of results. But if you're doing what He has told you to do, even if you don't see massive results right away, what He's going to give you is a sense of peace and confidence that you are still doing what He has told you to do. A lot of times our issue is whether or not we can actually receive that peace and the confidence He wants to give while we're waiting for those results that He has promised. Can anyone relate to this?
Are you looking at me, Paul?
You just happened to be in my line of sight when I lifted up my head. It's nothing personal, Gary.
I know.
But can anyone relate to this sense of, what's going on here? I'm doing exactly what God has told me to do. I'm following every instruction. I've done everything He's asked me to do. Why am I not seeing results? And the answer will come back and say, if you're listening to the Lord, He said, it's not time yet. Wait and trust me. Mm-hmm. But this little escapade wasn't very encouraging to our band of seven brothers. We see this detail in verses 4 and 5. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered Him, "No." You can just imagine how that no sounded. No. Can anyone relate to that? There are two things about this part of the story we need to notice. What is the first detail that jumps out at us, and it's in verse 4?
Jesus stood at the shore.
Okay, Jesus was on the shore, but what else slightly after that? They didn't recognize Him. They didn't recognize Him. That's kind of strange, we might think, because it says it's only about 100 yards away. Most of us can recognize somebody 100 yards from where we are, because it's not that far, unless you're that profoundly nearsighted and you don't have your glasses on. But that's about it. We can notice somebody, recognize them from a distance like that, because 100 yards really isn't that far. It's 300 feet. It's not that bad. They'd spent a lot of time with Jesus. They had spent most of their waking moments with Jesus. And we believe that they had by that time a pretty good idea of what Jesus looked like. But they didn't recognize him on the lakeshore that day, that morning. Now, yeah, you know, why didn't they recognize Jesus? Why do you think?
The sun could have been in their eyes.
What's that?
The sun could have been in their eyes.
Oh, something could have been in their eyes? Oh, possibly. What's that?
They weren't expecting him to be there.
Okay, they weren't expecting him to be there. That's a good answer, because that's the reason they went fishing, is they were tired of waiting and they weren't really expecting Jesus to show up very soon. But how about also that this is at daybreak, right when the sun is creeping up above the eastern hills overlooking the Lake of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias, or whatever you want to call it. And it's kind of not quite bright yet, and Jesus is 100 yards away. So that could have been one reason. And here's another likely reason. If we're off doing our own thing, and this is the spiritual reason, if we're off doing our own thing, we're likely not to see Jesus in what we're doing. He's not going to be in it. So we're not going to expect to see Jesus if we're off doing our own thing until Jesus decides to say, okay, it's time. I need to go talk to these people, and I need to bring them back where I want them to be. And this is what Jesus is doing here. He says, children, have you any food? Now, the pronoun children here in the Greek could actually be translated, hey, lads, you have any fish? Because it's lads, boys, guys, youth guys, you know, whatever. Have you any fish? The answer is still no, they didn't have any fish. But it's not, hey, kids, do you have any fish? That's not what that means. It means, hey, lads, have any fish? You can imagine it like an almost a British or an Australian accent with that. Now, Jesus is calling to them in their strained and unsuccessful effort as they were doing something he had not commanded them to do. At the same time, let's get it straight, that Jesus isn't mad at them. He's not calling to them to make them feel ashamed, knowing that they hadn't caught anything. Hey, you got any fish? Kind of knowing, I know you guys didn't catch anything, so I've got to say that anyway. That's not what Jesus is up to here either. So he's not jeering or laughing at them. This part of the story is here to teach us the likely results of what happens when we try to do something on our own strength and without direct instructions from the Lord. Jesus' call to those guys was an act of love. And in this process, he's trying to steer them back to putting their focus on him instead of trying to go out on their own and do something. This is classic Jesus. My friends, and this is how we can best translate this if we want to understand Jesus' reason. My friends, how are you doing? Think about that. Jesus is calling to them out of love. You're working so hard and you're finding no results. I'm here to help. I'm here to change that. And helping is exactly what Jesus had in mind, and we see that in verse 6. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. What did Jesus tell them to do?
Net on the right side of the boat.
Cast the net on the other side of the boat. Now, think about this. There are four known professional fishermen in that boat. And then there's this guy on the shore that they don't recognize at first, telling them to throw their nets on the other side of the boat. Then he's promising that they'll catch some fish if they drop their nets approximately 10 feet in the other direction. Do we know how this must have sounded to those fellows who had been fishing all night and had caught nothing? And there Jesus says, throw your net on the other side of the boat. Roughly, you know, because these boats aren't that big, you know, maybe not even 10 feet away. And can you imagine these? Yeah, right. I mean, you can't help but kind of wonder that what, they don't recognize Jesus, so they, who is this guy telling us to throw the net on the other side of the boat? But you know what? They did it. When you're frustrated with no results in your work, when Jesus comes, you will finally do what he tells you to do. Think about that. When we're frustrated with our results from our work, when we finally hear Jesus' voice, we will be ready to follow his instructions and do what he tells us to do. Amen? Because when we finally beat our head against the wall some number of times and have had no results, when we finally hear that still small voice, we will act in obedience out of such relief that Jesus, we're finally hearing from him. Now, what does the text say? They couldn't pull the net out of the water. It was so heavy with fish. Are we able to see the spiritual lesson this passage is trying to teach us? Let's think about that. Can we see what this passage is trying to teach us about following the Lord's direction? What do you think?
Don't do anything without seeking God first.
What was that?
Don't do anything without seeking God first.
Yeah, don't do anything without putting the Lord first. And in what way and how are we supposed to do what we do?
Obedience.
And obedience? There's two words I'm looking for here. We should do things
his way.
Very good. His way. When we do things the Lord's way, we're going to receive three things. The first is immediate. The assurance that we're obeying the Lord. In other words, we're going to have some faith here and stop looking for the bright signs in the sky or burning bushes or the trails of angels' robes filling our room where we're singing and stuff like that. You know, stop looking for the miracle signs and just have some faith and know that God is pleased with you if you are following his directions. So that's it. The first thing, the assurance we're obeying the Lord and we receive that by faith. The second may be delayed a bit. That's the results of our efforts. Then there's the ultimate result we saw in verse 7. John recognized that the man on the shore was Jesus. When we're obedient to him and we're hearing his voice, so to speak, will recognize Jesus in the plans, even if and when it may take years for results to come, we'll have his assurance that we need, that he's in it. He gives his assurance. That's how you can keep going. The Lord knows we are impatient. The Lord knows we're prone to being bored really easily about doing something, the same thing. You know, we hear that famous quote from Einstein that the definition of insanity is continuing to do things the same way every time but expecting a different result. But that's not quite right when it comes to following Jesus. Do things the way he tells you over and over and over again, the way he tells you to do them, and eventually there will be a result. Understand what I just said there. Eventually there will be a result. Note that I did not say eventually we will see the results. I can cite for you more than a dozen missionary stories of missionaries who went and labored in the forests, in the jungles, in the cities, in the swamps, and all these other places, sharing and preaching the gospel for years and years and years, and going home without seeing one convert. And then the next team that shows up in that very location reaps this massive harvest. There's an awakening in that spot. Souls are saved. Lives are changed. Cultures are restored and rescued. And this has happened no number of times that I can tell you. But those missionaries might have been a little discouraged, but you know, ultimately in those same stories, they always related that somehow we knew that we were doing what God told us to do, and we had the peace and the confidence to keep working even if we didn't see the results. That is so important for us to know and learn and get it through our thick, rock-hard maple skulls and sometimes granite-like hearts, that God is in it and He will give you the peace you need. And if you don't have the peace, ask Him. And if you don't have the peace and it doesn't come right away, just wait in His presence and He will give it to you. He does that every time, all the time. And He's faithful that way. Now, Peter jumped into the water after John said, "It is the Lord." Here's another detail. Usually when you jump into the water, you're wearing your bathing suit or something like it. Peter put all of his clothes back on and he jumped into the water. Why? It's because when you go before a king, you want to be fully dressed. And in Peter's case, he had failed Jesus. And he wanted to try to look his best when he appeared before his Lord, whom he had denied. So Peter was appearing before his king, and he wanted to be fully dressed when he got there, not down in his whatever it was that he was in before. Doesn't give many details on that. Now look in verses 8 through 14. The disciples came in the little boat. They were about 100 yards off. They were dragging the fish. The rest of the disciples arrived, and when they reached Jesus, He already had a fire going, and there were already some fish on the fire, and they all knew that it was Jesus. That is so awesome. And you know what that says? Jesus has already prepared for you what you need even before you ask Him. Jesus has it ready to go. That grill was going. He had some fish on the barbie ready to go. You ever know that? Heard that Australian phrase, throw some more shrimp on the barbecue? Jesus had it going. There was fish on the fire, and he was ready to say, come have breakfast. So our 7-man breakfast club got together with Jesus around that fire. And the best part of this story is next week. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.